The remarkable operations in Uttarakhand in the Mana area that's close to Chamoli at an altitude of more than 13,000 feet as a result of rescue operations when a huge avalanche took place are now over. 54 people have been recovered. Almost all of them made it out alive. Sadly, there have been 8 fatalities, casualties as well. But the operations themselves were some of the toughest that we've seen in avalanche conditions in recent times. Joining us now to talk about the operations themselves, Brigadier M.S. Dhillon. He is the brigade commander over there. Thank you, sir, very much for speaking to us. Before we get to the operations themselves, for the benefit of viewers across the country, could you describe the conditions when the avalanche broke?
Yeah, good afternoon, Vishnu. The avalanche occurred early morning hours on the 28th of February. Now, before I get on to the disaster per se, I'll just like to give you a bit of a perspective. The location where the avalanche occurred is just south of the famous first village of the country, the Mana village. The altitude of the area is almost 10,000 feet and it is surrounded by steep mountains. It had been snowing in the region since 26th of February with heavy snowfall. And the valley floor and the surrounding hills, there was heavy snow accumulation. Now, this is the area where the BRO labor camp was located. And as I mentioned, it is about a kilometer south of Mana village and about 3 kilometers north of the revered Badrinath Shrine. Now, early morning on the 28th, when the avalanche struck the BRO camp, there were about 54 BRO laborers who were there in that camp. And it was snowing very heavily, and the temperatures were well below minus. And because of the extreme weather conditions, the communications in the area were all cut off. So was the road connectivity between Joshimath and Mana. And the providential part is that the army camp there is located just about a kilometer and a half away from where the avalanche struck. So army was able to respond immediately. Being the first responders, we responded immediately and carried out the search and rescue operations.
Brigadier, most of those who survived were all in containers. And as I understand it, the containers ultimately protected them, but the containers themselves in many cases moved. Is that right?
Yes, they were staying, most of them were staying in containers. Now, they were metal containers, the kind that are used to transport items. And when the avalanche struck, these containers were dislocated and they came rolling down the hill. And this resulted in quite a lot of injuries because they were completely metal and the people inside them, some of them got injured. They were also thrown out and simultaneously buried in the snow.
And so therefore, time was of the essence. That's the bottom line.
Absolutely.
Could you describe to us this, and all of your soldiers and all of the rescuers knew this, that in those temperatures with hypothermia being a factor, other things, injuries being perhaps as big a factor, you had to get them out fast. So how was everything being done with that in mind?
Yes. Yeah. Our soldiers who are stationed in these areas, they are trained to operate in extreme climatic and, mountainous conditions. We have avalanche rescue teams which are in location. And they are also have got specialized equipment in place, because we carry out patrolling of the border areas which have extreme climate. Now, when this avalanche struck early morning on the 28th, our company that is there, that reacted immediately. And immediately they reached the site, they started carrying search. But as you mentioned, the situation was, the conditions were very grim and there were a lot of extreme snowfall and weather conditions. So they started searching the area. A lot of it was totally buried and they were not seen. And on the first day, these soldiers, they divided themselves into teams. They roped up, used specialized mountaineering equipment and were able to rescue 10 people by the afternoon. of which four were critically injured. One had a severe head injury, one had a back injury and a femur fracture. These two cases were very, very serious.
Sure.
And on the entire first day, we took out these 10 people, and also we were able to locate 23 more who had moved southwards from the area where this tragedy had occurred. And also, as I was mentioning, there's specialized equipment. We've got in location, we've got all-terrain vehicles, snowmobiles. We have also rough-terrain vehicles and quadcopters and mini RPAs. So based on whatever the weather was permitting us, everything was utilized and our soldiers worked day and night and ensured that by the end of the first day, we were able to rescue these 10 people and locate 23 more. And on the second day, early morning, they worked through the night. And by morning, we were able to locate 14 more, of which 13 were injured. But we got them to our location, and one, unfortunately, was fatal.
You know, in
and
all
as
of
you're
this,
aware by the...
Yeah, please. Brigadier, you know, in all of this, you have to work in a team. That's the premise on which the Army operates on anything. But within those teams, there are some who, you know, are exemplary. And one of those who was involved in directly saving lives, as I understand it, was a young captain. And yes. He was involved in operations as well. And I presume it was to deal with those who were injured in that first batch who was brought up. Could you tell me a little bit about what it is that this young captain was actually, how old would he be?
The young captain would be 27, 28 years old. And whom you're talking about, actually there were three officers who did exemplary tasks. Two were out in the field, say, digging out people and rescuing them. And before I get on to the medical aspect, I would just like to give a bit more perspective. Entire first day and the first half second day, there were secondary avalanches happening. Whenever an avalanche is triggered, there are secondary avalanches that follow up. So we had another big avalanche at 16:05 hours on the first day. But our teams, being well-trained, knew how to disperse and avoid that avalanche and then continue with their operations.
Wow.
Now, specifically, I would just like to highlight the role of this young captain, Captain Nair, of the Medical Corps, who worked almost 48 hours continuously and carried out very, very complicated life-saving procedures on two of the patients and saved their lives. And he did this in bare minimum conditions of a MI room of a company operating base.
Could you describe to us the conditions in that MI room? It would have been very basic.
It would have been basic, though we have essentials which are there to treat the patients, to carry out, you know, life-saving surgeries. But there are some complicated procedures which require operating rooms, which require anesthesia, all kinds of support for which people are evacuated to hospitals behind. But because it was snowing very heavily, because the roads were closed, the communications were out, we were only using satellite phones. So the doctor, you know, went beyond, you know, the call of duty, and he ensured that he carried out the procedures and saved the lives of these two people.
What
one
were the
with a head injury and one with the...
What were
one
the
had a head injury, and he treated the patient and stitched his wounds back, and other had a back injury and a femur fracture.
Right, and in the initial period, you couldn't evacuate them is the key point until, almost 48 hours later?
Yeah, almost 36 hours had passed by the time we could evacuate because the weather window allowed the helicopters to come in on the second day morning.
That's a fantastic story of a youngster, you know, doing so well. And that's what the Indian Army is all about. But things would have gotten, Brigadier, fairly desperate when you realize that they were... you know, still a reasonably large number of people still trapped. How did you locate, you know, these people who were still trapped? Unfortunately, what, 8 of them had not made it. But just detecting, you know, those bodies would have been difficult.
Yes, yes. So as I mentioned, on the second day, we started getting more specialized equipment. We were also, we had our senior officers who were in location, Lieutenant General Anand Sen Gupta, the GOCNC Central Command, and Lieutenant General DG Mishra, the GOC UP area, they visited us and they took a stock of the situation on the ground. And a lot of specialist equipment was inducted. We had a flight by a UAV that was specialized in detecting the thermal signatures so that we could detect individuals who were buried in the snow. We also had specialized Tiranga Mountain Rescue Team, which the Army has coming in. They were carrying RECO radars, the avalanche dogs. We had almost five of them who came in on the second day. And we also had teams from NDRF, ITBP, who had joined in operations, and a lot of support from the state government as well in terms of movement of specialized equipment. We had another equipment that is known as DIBODS that was arranged by the NDRF, and that was also moved in by the third day.
And a final question. All of this became critical also because there was no road access. Road access was cut off. I know yes. the GREF, which is part of the Border Roads Organization, was trying to clear those roads. But that's access which you didn't have at that stage in the initial phases, correct?
Yes, yes. Because of the avalanches, actually avalanches stuck at multiple locations along the road. And that is called major blockages of the road. The road was blocked for almost 20 kilometers. And the BRO worked very hard. But in these conditions, it takes time to open the roads which are there. So that process was also happening simultaneously. We had the BRO attempting to open the roads. And I would also like to highlight another special aspect. Because the helipad was blocked, so the troops within their location, they flattened out a volleyball court that was there and made an ad hoc helipad. And that became a lifeline. And all the helicopters then landed there. In the middle of the post, they created an ad hoc helipad wherein all the helicopters landed. And we were able to evacuate the injured as also induct specialized equipment through that.
All right, Brigadier. Well, sad loss of lives, no doubt. But had it not been for the speedy response of the men under your command, then, you know, the situation would have been much, much worse. Thank you very much for sharing the experiences of your soldiers and officers under your command in this very important rescue operation. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Vishnu. Thank you so much.